Hey everyone, welcome to episode 136 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Monday, December 11th, 2017, and from Nashua, New Hampshire, I'm Danny Donuts, and with me, of course, is the crew. So, we have our fellow New Hampshire resident, Ray C. How's it going, Ray?
What's up, Danny? It is going fantastic. I'm, just finishing up getting packed for Germany. I leave tomorrow afternoon to go play in Seat Story Cup this weekend, and I'm really excited for that. This is my first time going to Germany and actually going to Europe in general, so it's kind of a big deal for me. Like, that's... I don't know, I feel like that's a cool thing.
Like, yep. That is a cool thing.
That's something my parents never even got to do, like go to another country, so I'm pretty excited for it, and if I make it there alive, then hopefully you'll get to see me win this weekend.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet, especially with, I really like new expansion tournaments where everyone's still experimenting and trying different things out.
Oh yeah, there's going to be a lot of wacky decks. Seat Story is notorious for just random stuff. That's where, do you remember what the Bog Creeper deck was? Bog Champer? I think that's what it was called. It was a shaman deck. It was like a control deck.
Was that the thing that Frodan brought?
Yes, that was what Frodan brought, and Reno had its first showing at Seat Story Cup a while back. Stan Sifka brought it in Freeze Mage, but he was still playing two ofs in it. So it was before Reno really got figured out as the singleton deck. People were still trying it with, like, multiple copies of cards in their deck, and they would just try to draw it and then play Reno late game. It's a really cool tournament. And generally, the second one, the winter one, happens right after a new set release every time.
Yeah, pretty sweet.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. So over to Kansas City, we have JR back from a week off. How's it going, JR?
Yeah. Pretty good. I'm just very disappointed in you, Danny, because you're sitting here reading these greatly put together show notes and you just read it wrong.
Yeah, I did read it.
Studio 6. You're not from Denver, Colorado. You're not Kick Tripod.
Yeah. In case you guys don't know, John is currently getting married, so he's not here. And John normally reads the show notes, so I'm filling in this week. At least I didn't read it in Spanish.
Well, what studio can we be? Can we be Studio 7? Wait. Yeah. It actually makes more sense for us to be Studio 6 because we're in the 603.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, we're Studio 6. And John can just bump his number up one.
Yeah, John's not Studio 6 anymore.
We're Studio 6.
I'm Studio 1738.
So. 1738! Yeah!
That's great. So how's your week going, JR?
Not too bad. Like, all I did... Like, let's see... It's more like, what day is it right now? It's Monday because we're recording. So there's a new expansion that came out in Hearthstone. I don't know if you guys knew about it or not, but it's called, like, Kobolds and Catacombs. Mm-hmm. And there's this mode called Dungeon Run. And, I don't remember what day it is anymore.
I still haven't played Dungeon Run yet, man. I haven't played it. I still have that little quest that says play Dungeon Run for your free pack.
It's
so fun.
It's fun. It's like...
I like it as well.
I can't explain it. Like, I knew it would be good, but I didn't know it would consume me as much as it did. Like, I knew I'd play a lot of it, but I spent a lot of hours playing that mode just so I can finally beat all 9 classes.
Oh, same.
And it took forever. mainly because I didn't bother. Like, this was the first single player mode that I didn't go and, like, just read up on like, kind of spoilers or whatever. To, you know, I never got to a point where I was completely stuck on a boss. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go read up how to beat it. So I spent a lot of time just figuring it out on my own. And also finding some really cool Easter eggs and stuff like that along the way. I think I fought, like, there's what, 48 bosses, total bosses? I think I have fought every single one of them, except there's one that I have not seen yet, and that's the treasure room.
Oh, you haven't seen the treasure room? I got that on my last run, to get 9 class wins, and, like, I had thought that I saw it all. I wasn't really keeping track of the number of bosses, and I didn't even know about it. It was a huge surprise to me when it came up.
Yeah, for those that don't know or haven't seen it, it's basically just, it's just a bunch of treasure chests. Oh, what are they, O10 creatures?
Yeah.
And if you kill one, you get a treasure, and it's at, like, the treasure cards, and it's added to your deck. And you have so many turns to try to get as many as you can. It's like a pinata, basically.
Yeah. It's refreshing, too, because that's typically later on in the run. I got it when I was on my 6th boss. So, like, I was expecting to face something brutally hard, because I was doing Priest. Priest was really hard. Priest was the hardest one for me to finish.
Hunter was the hardest one for me. Priest was the second hardest. Mage was pretty difficult as well.
Shaman was pretty difficult for me.
Shaman was really easy. Like, I think I beat that in the second attempt. I beat Warrior and Warlock both on my first attempt. Nice. Those were pretty simple. Priest, it just came down to I just needed to basically get to build Raza Priest is what I ended up doing. Like, I got Raza and Reno and Anduin.
Oh, that's cool.
And Lyra as well. And
wow, that's like a constructed deck.
Yeah, I basically built a constructed deck with that.
Yeah, I like the different ways that you can bring decks too, because I beat Priest in a completely different manner. I went and I ended up getting my first buff was Stealth Minions. So I went and I got Holy Champion, which is the 4-mana 3/5. Every time you get a hero, every time you heal, add +2 attack. So I would stealth my minions up, and then I would Spirit Lash, and then Circle Heal, or I had a Pyro as well to do that. And legitimately, I would get this this little 4-mana minion up to, like, 30-40 attack. It was great.
I just love the little shenanigans that you can do in that mode. Without even, like, meaning to. Like, just, you're like, oh, I'm gonna build this, and then you face, like, a certain boss, and you're like, oh, look, I have now taken control of your 7/7 and added it to my deck that anytime it takes damage, it destroys all minions. The one boss. I've only faced him once, Ixalid, and he produces the 1/1 spore that has basically kill your hero, basically, in one shot, right?
Super poisonous, yeah.
Yeah, it was like super poison. To heroes, and so you like grab that and add it to your deck, and then it's like, oh look, that works against other bosses. Now I'm gonna win with this little 1/1 attack in the face.
It's crazy. And then you had the decks too, where you would build your deck one specific way. Because I had one run where I was a mage, and then all of a sudden I get to the Trog boss, where every single time you cast a spell, he draws a card, and then it cost 1 mana for him. And my deck synergized around spells, so I freaked out at that point. I'm like, I can't do anything against this guy, and he just wiped the board with me.
Yeah, I've died so many times to some ridiculous stuff. I died to the final boss, Togwaggle, on him getting the minion that makes all cards in his hand legendary minions, or something like that. All minions in his hand, legendary minions. And then he plays, like, Boots of Haste, which makes all of the minions he plays that turn cost 0 mana. And this is on turn 3. And he has a board full of legendary minions.
That's crazy. Just like,
well, there's nothing I can do against this. So that's I've had that happen. I found some Easter eggs, like there's a boss called Tad, and he fishes out from his deck. Like, he doesn't draw a card. He'll just fish out a minion from his deck, and he has so many of them. And if you don't damage him, and you just kill the minions, and then you wait a turn after he's, like, fished out all the minions, then he fishes out a little treasure chest thing, and you destroy that, and you get a treasure. It's an 0-1 weapon, and it says, like, fish out a minion from your opponent's deck. And you get it the rest of the run. And that's amazing.
Yeah, I got that.
The little details like that.
Fine, I did that one by accident.
Yeah, so did I.
It reminds me... It reminds me of, like, the old school games, like, when I was a kid, that had, like, all those little hidden Easter eggs that you would find all the time. Yeah. I love that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Where it's just like you're always discovering new things. It's kind of like Mario Odyssey did that a lot too, which is one of the reasons why I like that so much. And I know you're a pretty big fan of that game, JR.
Yeah, I need to go back and play that. I haven't finished it yet. That's a great game. That's probably one of my game of the years. But no, this mode, like, I feel like they need to do single-player mode like this the rest of the time, because this blew away any of the single-player content they've done in the past.
Yeah,
and even
definitely.
After I beat it with 9 classes, I'm still playing it. Like, it is massively replayable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, like... like I said, I knew this would be, like, a really good mode, and I talked it up, like, after we played it at BlizzCon, like, hey, guys, this is going to be something pretty big. I think it was even bigger than my expectations. So.
Yeah, I would think so, too. I like
it. That's impressive.
Well. Yeah. But, yeah, Ray, you should play it. I think you would definitely like it. Like, it's...
There's also...
Oh, I know it.
Like, if you're not, like, totally focused on wanting to ladder and... you know, play with the new cards. I understand you got a tournament coming up, so you need to prepare for that.
Yeah, that's actually mainly why, was because if I play it, I want to keep playing it, but I can't do that because I need to figure out what I want to play for this tournament, exactly. And we only have a week, so it's like, I don't want to, like, get sucked into something that is not going to help me win $10,000 this weekend.
And it's going to suck you in.
Yeah.
I
guarantee.
Oh, I know that. I know that. That's why I have been avoiding it, honestly. That's the main reason, because I know that's exactly what will happen. And once I come home, or probably even on the way home in the airport and stuff, I'll just be playing that a lot. But until the tournament's over, I'm going to have to restrain myself.
Yeah. That's a good plan.
Well, if you're not Ray, if you're not Ray and you still have that competitive vibe, there's actually a competition going on for the Dungeon Run mode. If you haven't touched it, or you have an account that has the ability to start it over for free, Twitch is doing a contest where you essentially try to get all 9 classes done as fast as possible with as few restarts as possible. So, I believe that you have to stream it on Twitch, but if you go about doing that and you keep it at the lowest score, you can go in. I think the grand prize is something like $30,000, which is pretty crazy for a Dungeon Run type of thing.
Yeah, I thought about doing that, but I didn't want to stream. I should, because I need to stream again, but I also saw that people are starting to do speed runs.
Oh, that's interesting.
In Dungeon Run. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So I'm kind of interested in, because I saw Dave Kozak tweet out something about it, and I'm kind of interested to see how that works, because I think he tweeted out a dungeon run someone did with Hunter, and it took him 15 minutes total.
Wow,
which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I mean that. It's just so exciting, man. On the way home. I don't know now. Maybe I will, like, try to do that. I feel like that would be cool. Like, you guys could even help me if you want to, like, try to break that record. We can all split the winnings.
Yeah. That'd be a lot of fun.
I don't know when that ends, though.
It was 10 days after the expansion starts. So
okay, it'll be over. I'm going to be in Germany for a week.
Yeah.
So it'll be over. Sad.
See, Ray, you could have played Dungeon Run and made your money there. But no, you have to go to another country for the first time in your life and do that instead of playing Dungeon Run.
I know. I'm the worst, man. I need to get my priorities straight.
You do. You do. Instead of having Hearthstone pay for trips to other countries to compete, you could just have Hearthstone at home and win possible money.
I know, man. I'm literally just wasting time.
Yeah.
Traveling. Like, I'm...
Yep.
I'm supposed to be an optimal gamer, and I'm just making all the wrong moves. Unlucky. Yeah. But... it's gonna be fun.
So
either way,
like, I don't want you to give away what you're playing at Seed Story Cup for obvious reasons, but I'm curious to, like, what you've been playing that you think is really good right now.
Is Seed Story open list, by the way? I think is it closed? I don't know what it is. Closed or open list?
It's closed list. Yeah, I have to submit tonight actually. By like midnight or something, but
I'm just curious, like, not like specific decks or anything, give anything away, but like, what cards are you finding they're good, or what classes are surprising you so far?
Well, it's not really a class specifically, it's more like cards, like the Corridor Creeper, which we talked about a little bit before the show, how we were saying it kind of goes in everything right now. And Danny was saying in Wild, it's just fitting into every deck. And in Standard, the same trend is happening. It's really cool to see that that was a card that nobody really said, hey, this card's insane, in any of the reviews that I saw, or that I did. I even overlooked that card slightly. Like, I thought of it...
I even saw Reddit, like, make fun of it. Like, it was such a trash card in their eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me that nobody, like, immediately... said, hey, this card is busted, except for obviously the people who ended up playing it in Trinity Series and doing insanely well with it.
Who was that? Was that Lovey Lots?
Yeah, that was Team Lull. That was Muzzy, Chalky, Zalay, which is like that whole group with Amnesiac, Ike, a lot of good players, and obviously they had been paying more attention to the cards and the format because they'd have to play in it, but a lot of people, even though they looked at it and they saw it, they didn't really connect the dots, you know? Especially me. I feel kind of dumb for not seeing that. I thought of it more as a card that I want to play in Warlock because I want to go, hey, I want a Twisting Nether and play free 5/5s kind of thing. I didn't really think of it to go in aggro and, like, everything. I thought of it was more a... control card that you play after you clear their board.
Yeah. And for those that don't know, like, Corridor Creeper is what? It's a neutral epic beast.
Yeah.
5/5 for 7 mana. And for every minion that dies when it's in your hand, you take off 1 mana cost. So, it, like, in aggro decks, you can basically get it off on turn 4 or 5 very easily as a 0 cost card or as a very low cost card. And a 5/5 on that turn is pretty nuts.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
It's crazy. I mean, you're keeping a 7-drop in your opening hand in aggro at certain points now. Like, I that's mean, the right play.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, there are decks that it's fitting into really well that I didn't even think there were enough minions. Like, Tempo Mage is playing Corridor Creeper now, and it's very good. And that's not something I thought of. Although, I did say Explosive Runes was going to be really good, but I think everybody kind of called that. Like, those are the kind of cards that are easier to judge because their effect is just... their power level is more obvious, I guess. But there's cards that ended up not really seeing play yet that I kind of thought would. Like the... what is it called? It's the warrior card that's 2 mana that... gains 2 armor for each minion. that's on the board.
Oh, the dry whiskey armor.
Yeah, the dry whisker armor. Cards like that that aren't seeing play because Warrior's just not good enough right now. But I'm interested to see, like, as the meta develops, if there's going to be a good Warrior list that somebody figures out.
I wouldn't Taunt Warrior right now end up being a pretty decent play because of decks playing aggro with the Corridor Creeper. Like, wouldn't Taunt right at that point end up just helping you out?
You would think that Taunt Warrior would be pretty good, but it's... I don't know, you just get destroyed by decks like Tempo Mage. That's the big thing. Tempo Mage is so good right now.
Yeah.
And even Rogue, it's like... It's not that great against Rogue either, because they just Vile Spine Slayer your big Taunt and then push damage. But yeah. The deck is still very slow.
A lot of minions have... A lot of decks have Burst now. And that's one of the things that you have to look out for.
Like, it would still be good against decks like the Zoo deck that's been running around a lot, which is just standard Zoo with Corridor Creeper, obviously, and Kel'Seth, which, that's actually funny, too. We talked about Kel'Seth maybe dying down a bit, but it's actually just gaining more popularity, because there are now more Kel'Seth decks, because there's even Pirate Warrior now, which is really cool, because it's playing the Spellstone with Spiteful Summoner. There's just so many more decks that are playing Kel'Seth. Like, it actually got probably twice as popular as it was before, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. One of the other cards Oh, sorry, go ahead, JR.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I think it's funny that Kel'Seth, like, all of us, like, that was a card we reviewed last set that we're all like, this card can be really good, maybe. We don't know, but it has potential. And then, like, it wasn't, and then it suddenly was, after the nerfs,
I mean,
happened.
So, imagine it like this. If Corridor Creeper was never played at Trinity Series until it was, quote-unquote, like, broken out in a tournament scene that got notoriety, I feel like people still wouldn't get that card until...
I've been playing it since day one. Like, it went immediately... Like, all I've been playing is Face Hunter, basically. And the only reason that I played it is all I bought was my pre-order packs. And I didn't have, like, a lot of gold to buy a lot of more packs. And all of the legends that I got were not great. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty unhappy about that. And I didn't want to spend more money on cards right now because... I wanted to play more Dungeon Run anyway, and then I'll pay for cards later. So I looked in, I opened up two of them. In my packs, I had opened up two, and I'm like, this card could definitely fit into aggro, it might be fun. And I played it. And I'm like, wow, this card is really good. And then I suddenly, like, a couple days later, I started hearing people talk about how good it was. Because I hadn't seen anybody play it. In the first few games I played, and I had like a 75% win rate with that deck. I was at like rank 19 through rank 10, so I wasn't like playing high level play.
Mm-hmm.
But I just assumed that people had caught on to it earlier than that, but I hadn't seen it.
See, I feel like
some people did.
Yeah. I feel that Kel'Seth went and paralleled that as well, right? How Kel'Seth was in the position where it was a good card to begin with, but no one really played Tempo Rogue at the time. And then when Druid went away, people were like, oh yeah, we have this Tempo Rogue deck, and it's a thing, but no one had really played it much before. And then when people started playing it, they're like, oh my gosh, this is a really good deck with a really good card being Kel'Seth.
Yeah, I think once the Spreading Plague nerf and the Innervate nerf went into play, that it shot Kel'Seth up way high. And I thought at the time, like, Kel'Seth was going to fit into Warrior more than Rogue. I hadn't even thought about wanting to bounce him back repeatedly. Because I thought he'd go right into Warrior right after the Fiery War Axe nerf as well. Like, and that's where I saw him originally played, was in Pirate Warrior right after that nerf.
Yeah. He definitely was played in Pirate Warrior. That's what he originally was in. And it took a very long time for people to start playing Zoo again for some reason. I'm not sure why it took so long for Zoo to come back into the metagame, but eventually it did, and it's really interesting that it kind of takes somebody doing well with it in a tournament for people to go, hey, this is actually pretty good. Where, like, a lot of people have ideas, and they don't really get credit because they're not a big name. But then eventually some big name or some person does well with it in a tournament, and everybody else realizes that it's good.
Yeah. That reminds me, back in the day, when, way before, like, alpha or beta Hearthstone, I won a tournament. I even beat Reels in that tournament. It's the only tournament I've ever won in my life. And it had like 160 people in it. So it wasn't a small tournament. It was an open. It was those mana grind tournaments. You guys remember those at all?
Yeah.
It was before they even started doing the format where you'd play like different classes. Like basically you played one deck and that was the deck that you played.
I remember there was a different ladder system where it was like Grandmaster or something like that.
Yeah, it was during those times. Anyway, I had created like an aggro Zoo style deck, and that's what I won with. And then a week later, Raynad streamed sort of the same deck and then took credit for creating it.
Oh yeah, that happened to me before with Mech, the aggro, or it was like a Mech Shaman deck with the Whirling Zap-O-Matic. Me and Phone Tap were playing it at High Legend. We queued into Raynad, and we just like just destroyed him, and like on turn 3 or 4 with Whirling Zap-O-Matic, and then he started playing it. And then it was Raynad's deck.
Yeah, I always love how that kind of works a little bit. I don't care who the deck's named after or who takes credit for it or anything. I just thought it was a funny story.
You know when you've made it when Raynad copies your deck.
Yep.
Hey, well, nowadays it's different. When I made the Taunt Warrior deck, when the dog streamed it and stuff, he put Racy's Taunt Warrior. And I was like, yeah, it is. Nice.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That feels good when you actually kind of get the credit for being the first person to figure out the archetype. And I really wanted to do that this meta. The problem is that I had way too many terrible ideas. And that were so fun that I just tried out. There were so many bad things that I played the first day when I was streaming. I played Elemental Mage. Not like the big mages that are actually doing well. Like a very Elemental-based deck. There was... What's the 4-drop that kind of flopped? Leyline Manipulator. Yeah. That card, I tried everything I could think of to get that card to work, and nothing worked, and that card has not been seen at all, and that was a pretty hyped-up card, in my opinion. And it just fell flat.
I'm still waiting to see that in do well in, like, questless Exodia Mage in Standard. How's that been doing?
Not that well. Like, that's the thing. It's like, I tried that. I tried so many things, and it's just not good enough. And that's very surprising to me, because that card felt like it was going to be really strong. And I think a lot of people pegged it as broken or something. And it is not seeing any play at all yet. I mean, it obviously still could. It's very early in the metagame. But it's kind of interesting to see, like... people call this is like, oh, this is going to be one of the best cards in the set, and then it's just not good enough.
Is Quest Warlock doing anything?
That was another bad idea that I tried really early on. And in the first 5 games, I didn't draw Cataclysm in my opening hand. I lost all those games. I finally drew Cataclysm, and then I realized that my hand wasn't big enough to complete the quest.
Oh, no.
Because... I accidentally played too many cards.
So that card did not single-handedly bring back Quest Warlock at all?
No, in the games that it actually worked, it's like, the quest to actually play the card is 5 mana, which is insane to me, because it's not even that great. It summons 2 3/2s. I honestly thought once I completed the quest that the portal would just go on the board. It doesn't. It costs 5 mana.
Oh.
So I didn't realize that, and then I played it. I was like, oh my god, I have to literally spend my turn 5 playing this card. And creating 3/2s isn't really that great when you're probably dead by turn 6 half the time nowadays.
I don't know how competitive this deck is, but I've seen some people having some pretty solid results with Rin, the Warlock Legendary, that you keep casting the seals and then you destroy their deck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've seen people have like say that that's been a pretty solid card to build around. It's probably not going to be like high level competitive, and you're probably not going to see it in the tournament scene. But people are saying that it's been pretty solid for them.
It actually did see a lot of play in the Trinity Series tournament.
Oh, see, I didn't watch that tournament at all, so I had no idea what was being played.
Yeah, Rin is really good in the grindy matchups, like against Mirror Match or against like a big mage or pretty much anything where you have dead turns. Rin puts an immediate clock on your opponent at the cost of having to play a 3/6 with Death Rattle, which honestly, in a control mirror, isn't even bad, because generally you're just going to be doing nothing anyways the majority of the time. So Rin is very good in attrition-based matchups where you're not on a strict clock. So basically, I mean,
plus, everything. Plus you're just putting out big dudes, like, every turn.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
you're playing Rin, the Jade game, yeah.
In my experience, Rin has been useless against everything except for Warlock Mirror Match and against Mage, because those are really the only non-aggro decks I've been seeing at all. It's kind of still a very aggressive metagame. Or Priest, but Priest puts you on a definite clock for sure, because they just kill you with their hero.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely good, but for me, I've been playing Stonehill Defender in my Warlock deck, so I've been finding Rin off of Stonehill Defender and just winning those matchups through that, which has been kind of cheesy. But I think Stonehill Defender is a lot better because of Rin in Warlock.
And then King Togwaggle. He wasn't the meme card we thought he was going to be.
I'm not going to lie, I put a lot of time into trying King Togwaggle, and in the way I imagined it in my head ended up being terrible, but there are other ways that it's found uses, and there's some really cool combinations with it. So if you play Druid, you can play a King Togwaggle Druid where you play Naturalizes and you make your opponent draw to 10 cards, and then they can't get the Togwaggle card, so they just start fatiguing and they can't switch back. Wow. If you draw your whole deck and then King Tog, like, naturalize so they draw cards, King Togwoggle, they don't get the switchback card. There's some really cool things that you can do there, but it's kind of like a ha, gotcha surprise, because if they know what you're playing, it's kind of easy to just
play around
it.
Yeah,
with a lot
that's
of decks.
That's what I figured with that card too, is once you know like what your opponent's doing, it's gonna be like, oh, I see what you're trying to do there, you sneaky jerk. And then,
but it's cool in those like so closed anymore. List deck tournaments, right? It's a pretty cool tech that you can just sneak in when people don't know what you're playing and get a couple wins off of it.
I'm trying to figure out how you win with that card, but I guess if you're sneaky enough, you can pop it off.
I mean, I think that's what the card was for, though. Like, that's kind of what I felt like the card was for cheeky combos and fun, like, ha, gotcha moments, as opposed to actually a competitive thing. But it would have been really cool to see it be a competitive thing. Those are like the quote unquote casual legendaries that I like to see, as opposed to the
Yogg.
The cheese. No. No, the cheese meme one. You remember that? What was the card called? The Gouda?
What is it?
Zola the Gorgon.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Gorgonzola cheese card. People were hating on me for saying that I didn't like that that card was printed, because it just feels like a... Like, people were arguing that it's going to see play. Obviously, it hasn't yet, and it never will because it's bad, but...
It's... I played it in my Dungeon Run deck.
Okay, that's
How'd that go out for you?
I think I won. I think that's, the very first Dungeon Run I did with Warrior. I think I had it in there.
Yeah, but that's, those aren't the effects. I was copying Pirates. Okay, I like it. Yeah. Those aren't the, effects I like to see printed. I like to see really wacky stuff, like the Togwoggle thing, or...
If you like crazy effects, wacky stuff. Did you like Oakheart?
Oakheart, I like that card a lot, because it makes your deck have to be built around it. So that's kind of cool to me. I think a lot of people are trying too hard to make it work, but it does fit naturally into a lot of decks, like the Warlock deck, because it naturally pulls the Void Lord, which is insane, and in the Dragon Big Druid deck, it naturally pulls the Dragon Caller, which is really good.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So I think that card is really cool. I like it a lot.
What would you say right now in Standard are the top three meta decks?
Oh, that's easy. Priest, Raza Priest, with dragons or without dragons, doesn't matter. Deck's the best deck by a lot. Big Druid is the second best deck, and then the third best deck is one of the aggro decks. I don't know which one.
So basically nothing has changed.
When you put it that way, yeah. Pretty much.
Well,
I mean, other than they're playing a handful of different cards, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no, crazy new top-tier deck yet. I mean, the meta hasn't been figured out by a long stretch.
Maybe you guys can take a page out of the Wild Handbook. There is a deck that has surpassed Reno Priest in Wild. And that might be a bold statement, but Paladin has gotten a lot of power with the Call to Arms card in Wild. So Paladin right now is running. You're running mid range. Anything can happen, Paladin. That's currently the number one spot. It's the guy who is currently number one legend. And I haven't mentioned this on the podcast, so I thought I'd do some due diligence. I was the first player to Wild Legend this season, and I actually just only lost it this morning. So I held on to it for 9 days.
That's very impressive.
Yeah, and I'm gonna keep trying to get it back, but we'll see if I can do that.
I mean, you can do it, man. I believe in you, and that's true. I mean, in Standard, Call to Arms has made Paladin more playable, but I would never. The problem was is it was never unplayable. It was still very playable last format in Murloc Paladin, and it's still Murloc Paladin. It just plays Call to Arms now. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it makes it better, but these are all still the same decks, effectively. Like, even though we're seeing cards like Corridor Creeper and stuff, and their decks are a little bit different, it's still the same archetype. It's still Tempo Rogue. It's still Tempo Mage. Like, the decks are effectively the same. There's no new, wacky deck. There's no real new archetypes that have been created with this set, and that's kind of disappointing to me. I feel like there might be a Shaman deck that somebody just isn't getting. I tried to play Shaman, too, with the Battlecry guy. Its Battlecry is basically a Barnes. Or not a Barnes.
Bran.
It's basically a Bran, so I played Aggro Jades. So I would play the 1-1 Elemental Battlecry guy, and then you play Jade Claws, so you just get double Jades off that, and you just try to rush Jades really hard, but it was too inconsistent. But I feel like some Shaman deck out there.
Yeah, and just because there's, no, it's a lot of the same deck archetypes, I think that's okay for the last set of the season, right?
Yeah.
The last set of the year. Because it feels like, because if you look at this year, so our very first expansion that we got was a build around expansion with quests, right? Like, you wanted to build around your quests or, you know, build some decks around that. And then with the Death Knights, we got, you know, some new stuff as well because you wanted to build around the Death Knights. And it just feels like this one is like the supporting role of all the other classes. Like, there are a lot of like high value cards in this set that are getting added to already existing decks. But there's none that like stand out as a build around. And I think a lot of that is because you can't really build around weapons so much. Like, your weapons are more of to help you get to a means to an end, sort of like the mage weapon, you know, which has been pretty good. Or, you know, even looking at like the druid weapon on trying to get, you know, more mana crystals, which I don't even know if that's even being played right now. I'm not even sure which weapons are getting played. I know everybody talks about the mage weapon being pretty good. But it just feels like the set's been just high value cards that are fitting into existing decks rather than being a set around build around cards, right?
Yeah. Especially with the standard pool being so big, right? That's, I mean, for a card to be impactful in, like, if one of the cards that were released this expansion was released at the first expansion, like, the power level of some of these cards are crazy high comparatively for it to even make an impact, right? So if you have a mediocre card that might see some play, that's, like, now, if you compare it to some of the other cards, like, it's a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think, like, what you guys said, it's a supporting set, basically, and I didn't even think about that, is with the new rotation gonna happen soon, that, it doesn't have to create new archetypes, and it probably even shouldn't, because that'd probably be too much of a...
And maybe it will. Maybe it's too early to tell, like, maybe when the rotation happens... There will be something.
We also don't have future vision, because like when Blizzard makes expansions, like they also leave in little crumbs for what's to come in the next expansions as well, right? Like before you had hand buff, the hand buff mechanic, there was a minion in Hunter that buffed all the Death Rattle minions in your hand, and like before Lifesteal came out, there were some little. Some cards like that. So I bet in some of these, in some of the expansion, like the quest, not the quest, the spell hunter, the one that doesn't run any minions, while that deck might be average in play level now, like, it might be really good if they give it some more tools coming up and the rotation has happened.
Aren't people having pretty good success with that hunter deck, though?
Yes. I think it's actually pretty, pretty good right now.
Is it good?
Yeah.
In standard, at least.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty solid. Especially since Tempo Mage is so popular, that deck can just play Flare, which is really nice. It's probably going to actually see quite a bit of play in Last Hero Standing format, just because I feel like Tempo Mage is so strong right now that probably 80% of the players are going to bring Tempo Mage, or some crazy high amount are going to bring Tempo Mage just because it's so good that Hunter's going to start seeing play to just counter it.
Yeah, that's another
play Flare.
That's another deck that I found so hilarious because Reddit complained about it so much on how bad it was going to be and how it's so worthless and blah, 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 and then the deck turned out to actually be pretty decent.
Wait, they complained that Secret Mage was going to be
bad?
No,
that Spell Hunter.
Oh, yeah, that was really weird to me. They complained so hard about To My Side. Everybody was like, is this a meme? And I was like, that card doesn't even seem bad.
Yeah.
That's... Yeah. I'm like, I get two huffers. What's terrible about this?
Nothing. Or... Even if like you have to play all spells, it's like, that was almost viable before they printed these cards. And have you seen the Spellstone? Like, the Spellstone was revealed already when they revealed that card.
Yeah.
So it's like, is that really... I mean, the weapon wasn't revealed yet, I don't think, but, like, is it that... Like, it's definitely not bad. People overreact. Even people reacted to Purify so bad. I was like, this card isn't even that bad. It's a silence effect that cycles. It's gonna be played. Like, Humongous Razorleaf was already a card when they printed Purify, so it's like it already had a clear spot in like Silence Priest. That was already kind of a defined deck once they announced that card, and people still freaked out.
You know what's funny? Like, I think weird. That we could predict the next card that people will complain about obsessively. You take the class that has performed the weakest in the previous metagame, you take its quote-unquote weakest card, and that's the one that they hate the most. That's what Purify was. That's what this Hunter is. This Hunter spell is. It's the quote-unquote weakest spell from that we got from this expansion. So I think we just, for the next one, we find the worst deck, worst class in the metagame, pick out its worst card, and then we call it everyone's going to complain on this card.
I mean, it's probably just... wrong. Yeah, you're probably just going to be right about that, because, I mean, it happens every time, and it's so crazy to me, and people never even complain about the actual good and bad cards, which is funny.
Now, speaking of Reddit complaining...
Oh, boy.
This week, like, this is, I feel like, a legitimate complaint, though. So, people were saying that Rexxar, the Death Knight, was bugged.
Oh, I saw that.
Didn't seem to be pulling beasts from the current expansion. And Blizzard, community manager, Puffin, responded that this is intended. And that Blizzard does not plan on Rexxar pulling beasts from this expansion or future expansions. That it's just going to be Knights of the Frozen Throne and before. So when the new set rotates out, you're only going to be able to pull beasts from Rexxar in Standard with Classic, Journey to N'Goro, and Knights of the Frozen Throne.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, Reddit blew up on this. Like, they downvoted everybody in Blizzard when they responded to this on saying it wasn't a bug. And even Mike Donay had said that he, like, it had something to do with localization. Like, something to do with text boxes and localization and how they had to decipher it in, like, 15 different languages. And they just decided not to do it. And
it sounds lazy as a response.
That sounds absolutely lazy. And I couldn't believe that they had that kind of response to it.
We don't want to do that. That's a lot of work. We're just going to, no, have fun.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see, like Reddit's pretty upset about it. And not just Reddit, like, people in general are pretty upset about it because they're like, you know, I crafted this. You know, like, Blizzard did not communicate this at all beforehand.
They don't communicate things like that. They don't even... Yeah. There was a lot of, like, small changes that they didn't even announce in patches.
Yeah. Like, the Naga Sea Witch change. We didn't find out about that in Wilds until someone found it randomly.
Right.
Yeah, it's, like, some of the stuff they don't even put in patch notes, and it's so weird to me.
Like I understand, like, this wouldn't show up in a patch note, but this, I think, just shows, like, what are the rules, you know?
When would be a good time to explain that, though, right? You obviously don't announce that when Rexxar's coming out. You're not going to be like, oh, yeah, you're trying to build the hype up for the card. So, I mean, and when they were revealing cards, they're not going to go and be like, oh, yeah. Like, when do you announce it? That's my thought on the matter. It's like, yeah. How do you go about doing that?
I mean, I think you can announce it, like, when the new set comes out. Just, like, mention it. Oh, yeah.
What they should have done...
work anymore.
In my opinion, what they should have done is, after next year, like, stop after that. After the when this set rotates out of Standard, stop. Adding beasts to Rexxar. Up until then, you absolutely should, because he should absolutely be playable in the Standard rotation with the full set of beasts that you have released during that rotation. And then everything before for Wild. Yeah, Wild's not going to get him. Then you have to explain, you know, after this set, then, you know, but there's such a bigger pool that he can pull from in Wild.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't see it as that big of a deal for Wild.
I'm trying to think.
For Standard, I think they should absolutely go through at least the final set of next year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense to me, and I'm actually very surprised. That is something I saw. I don't usually browse Reddit. I saw it on Twitter because somebody tweeted about it as in, a joking manner, but I was like, wait, really? Rexxar doesn't get the new beast? That's really weird. It's... from my perspective, it felt like a lazy thing to do because it... I think the main reason is because they don't want to have to worry about designing cards around Rexxar. Like, say you make a one-mana... another one-mana charge minion or something that's a beast. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you have to watch out and build around Rexxar having insane combos or something like that. And they don't want to have to deal with that. It's basically just being lazy or just not wanting to restrict their creative whatever.
I think it's absolutely that. Like, I do not believe that anyone at Blizzard is lazy. I don't believe their design is lazy. Or anything like that. And I think that's just I don't believe that themselves. It just comes across that way, I think. Mm-hmm. But I think what you said was absolutely right on. Like, it probably had something to do with not wanting to restrict their design space. And I hate when they use that term anyway. But I think that's the reason. But once again, I think absolutely, if you really... And I think they should move forward with this kind of thought process. If you release a card in a standard rotation, you should support what that card can do throughout that standard rotation. And then after that, if you want to chop it off, fine. But you should absolutely support that card when it's in standard rotation, because that is what people are choosing to spend a lot of money to play. Because let's be honest, Wild... unless you're a new player, Wild is really cheap to play. You agree with me?
Yes, I do. Yeah, the decks in Wild are much cheaper than Standard.
Right, and not only that, but whenever a new set comes out, you don't have a ton of new cards that you really need.
Yeah, progressively, you add two or three cards from each set into whatever deck you have. Like, certain decks may change in power level, but the Paladin deck that we have for Anyfin can happen. Only got better because of two or three new cards. Whereas, different decks will change in power level, but only due to two or three new cards that come in.
Right. Right, so it's one of those things where it's just, people are paying a lot of money to keep up with Standard. Because you have to, if you really want to keep up with the competitive scene, you got to buy a lot of packs to get a lot of cards, because there's a lot of things you can build around in Standard. And it's ever-changing, because sets will rotate out, sets will rotate in. That if you release a card on that Standard set, you better support it.
Especially if that card is a focal point of one of the previous sets, right?
Exactly.
Because it's because it's a legendary, and it's that was the card they used to showcase Knights of the Frozen Throne. They used that. They're like, oh yeah, we have these Death Knights. And then Ben Brode went on to explain the Death Knights and showed Deathstalker Rexxar. So with that being the figurehead Death Knight for the expansion, where everyone knows about this one going into it, to have that one not specifically be followed up, I can understand. And at least in my opinion, I see your opinion on the standard rotation, but come on, make it to at least the end of the year, right? If you had some defined place where you stopped and said, oh, we only did it for 1 year, I'd take that better than, yeah, we're just not going to do it anymore.
Right. And then, never announce it ever. You're hyping up Kobolds and Catacombs. People are theory crafting on what decks they want to build, and they're like, look at these beasts that I can possibly do with Rexxar that are coming out in Kobolds and Catacombs. This is pretty awesome. I might go ahead and craft them. And then to find out, after the fact, that Blizzard wasn't even going to tell you until someone pointed out it's a bug. They thought it was a bug. And then Blizzard's like, nah, we did this on purpose.
This could have also gone under the radar, though, because they have done this in the past. They had the wild nerf to Dreadsteed, and they pointed that out when they released Defile. Maybe it didn't come to the mind of anyone who was releasing the card. I mean, I'm playing devil's advocate on that point, but, I mean, they have done that in the past, to give them a little bit of credit. Because they did do that for Dreadsteed, so this could have just slipped under the rug.
Maybe it did. I really think they should change whatever policy they have, and if they release a set in Standard, they need to support that card all the way through the Standard rotation.
So your comment about like sweeping it under the rug or whatever, then why would somebody who works for Blizzard go onto Reddit and say something about the coding for different languages or something? That's what really gets me.
That's a bad PR move, just in general.
Yeah, I agree.
That's mainly, like, I can see that, and that would be my argument as well, is that they might have just not known about it, and then they make the decision once they find out. But
it sounds like they absolutely knew about it.
If they knew about it, didn't announce it, and then said, because we don't want to do the extra coding, I don't know, that just comes across really poorly to me. And, I mean, maybe they didn't mean for it to come across that way, which I'm sure they didn't, and they probably wouldn't have said that if they knew it would come across that way, but I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It's just wacky.
I agree. It's like the one black eye of this set so far, because I'll be honest, like, this has been one of my favorite sets so far that I released, just because the single player content was absolutely on point, like best single player content I've ever played in this game. And the flavor of the set being Dungeons and Dragons, like, just made me so happy. When they announced it in the first place, and Ben Rhodes being the DM, like, all of that stuff, and the cards, like we said, have been high value, great cards to put into decks and are fun to play, and even some, like, good, like, meme style cards. Like, I know Ren's been pretty solid, but I kind of saw that as a meme card when it was first released or first announced, and Togwaggle and things like that. Like, there's some really good flavor in this set. But I feel like this is the one kind of black eye so far.
Yeah, and to add to that, I mean, I've also been really enjoying this meta. I've been excited to play Hearthstone, excited to test every new idea that I get, even though none of them actually work yet. But once the rotation happens, that might change. But for right now, none of my crazy ideas are really working out for me, but it's the fact that they're there, and it's kind of getting the juices flowing. For some reason, with the Knights of the Frozen Throne, I didn't have that same inspiration with that set. I don't know why, but it just feels like this set is a lot more focused on deck building. Cards like Okart and all these unique deck-specific like cards just inspire deck building.
Yeah. And that, which is funny, because that's what the single player mode is all about too.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if it's got, you know, because of that, it's got that synergy sort of. This is about, you know, deck building, about, you know, Dungeons and Dragons and building your adventure type thing.
Yeah, and I'm gonna have to parallel that as well. Because, I mean, I haven't played as much this season because I've been camping at Legend. But now that I've been kicked from the number one spot, it's like Christmas Eve to me. I'm able to experiment and tinker around with the decks that I haven't gotten a chance to. So I'm going to just go crazy in these next couple of days.
What do you see, like, being popular in Wild other than that Paladin deck you were talking about?
So, you have Face Hunter, which I think has a lot more credit now that you have Candle. Was it Candle Shot, Candle Wax, or whatever? The one mana
Candle Shot.
Yeah. Now that you have that, Face Hunter is very, very strong in Wild. So that's gonna pick up in popularity. Aggro Druid's pretty good as well. Obviously, Reno Priest is good, but one of the decks that's Wild exclusive and It's the deck that I'm actually going to probably climb with a little bit tonight is Patron Warrior. Patron Warrior, just because of how it fits in against the Paladin and aggro decks, it's going to start seeing a comeback, in my opinion. So I'm actually really excited to play some Patron Warrior because a lot of people haven't really tested around with it. And I think that you could play some Patron Warrior, maybe add in a little bit of the... There's been a combo Taunt Patron Warrior that has done well. So that's where I'm going to start at the start of tonight.
Sounds pretty cool. Patron Warrior brings back bad memories, though.
But it's not like... it's not charging Patron Warrior. It's the better Patron Warrior afterwards, where it's more board control styled rather than combo style. So yeah, as soon as what was the Garrison Commander? Yeah, as soon as the Garrison Commander nerf happened, it turned more into a mid range style deck.
It was Warsong.
Warsong Commander. Sorry.
Yeah.
Garrison Commander is the one that lets you hero power twice, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally awesome in Patron Warrior.
Double armor up. Except that most...
No, dude, double armor. Double Death Knight hero power, baby. Let's get it.
Yeah. Except most Patron Warrior lists run Findlay now, just so you can have a ping.
Oh, yeah. For sure. But, yeah, I mean, I think this meta's gonna be really fun to see what ends up rising to the top if anything new changes. But the recruit mechanic as a whole... The fact that they're printing all these cards to encourage unique and creative deck building is a good sign for the future, and I think that we're going to see a lot of cool stuff once the rotation happens and things aren't as defined as they are right now.
Yeah, and speaking of the meta and where it's going, I know that Otaku MZ Martin and Mac Daddy Gonzo or whatever his name is. I can never remember their names. I need to get them straight one of these days. The guys who do the BlizzPro ladder optimizer, they're actually, I think, already starting to work on, or at least getting the process started on getting a meta report out here fairly soon. And I think they're going to beat any of the other meta reports, actually, because he was able to compile data a lot faster for this stuff. So I'm really curious to see how that's gonna, like, what that's gonna look like and where they think where the fastest laddering decks are, what decks are sitting on top of the meta and things like that. So I think we should be getting that in a couple days.
Sweet! Woo!
So... Just heads up, so definitely check out hearthstone.blizzpro.com for that. I think we'll probably post on Reddit when it goes up this time, just because I think it'll be out for the others.
Nice.
Because I think Tempo, if I remember right, like Tempo Storm Vicious Syndicate, like they normally take a couple weeks when a new set comes out.
Yeah, they... I do the Tempo Storm standard one. I think Danny actually does the wild one.
Yep.
The meta snapshots. So that's actually pretty funny, but I don't think it'll probably come out for at least a week, because most of us are actually going to be at Seed Story for the standard part of it, like me and Ant and stuff, so we'll see. We'll see.
Yep.
So
anything else you guys want to talk about on this?
Well, I think we should just mention... No, not about the set. I think I talked about everything that I really wanted to talk about, and I'm itching to see how I do this weekend and whether or not I make it home alive, but...
You will.
I really want to know what everybody else is playing, because I already know what I'm playing, so it's not that exciting for me, but I want to know what everybody else is playing, because I feel like some people are going to bring wacky stuff to this, and that scares the crap out of me, because I'm going to be playing against Shaman, and I'm going to have no idea what half the cards they're going to play against me do. And I'm just going to embarrass myself somehow on stream, but, you know, whatever. It happens.
How many people are playing in that?
I think it's 16, usually. It's either 16 or 32. I don't remember. Cool. It might be 32. I don't know. too hard.
You don't even know how many people are playing in the tournament you're playing at.
You're screwed.
He just shows up. All Ray needs to do is show up and play. That's it. Keep it simple. All you need to do is show up and play.
Why do I need to know any of these things? These are all, like, things I don't need to know.
Dude, do you know German yet?
You need to know...
Guten Tag. Nein. Heil. Oh, wait. No, I can't say that. Oh, God. Oh, boy.
Hey, Danny, can you edit that part out?
Yeah, I got that.
Oh, God.
Don't do that. Stream. Don't do that at Seat Story Cup.
I'm not gonna do that at Seat Story Cup.
You need to know your opponents.
I don't need to know them to beat them. That's a common misconception.
Yeah, you totally need to know them to beat them, because then how are you gonna know how to BM them and take them off their game?
That's the beauty of it.
Accidentally make bad plays.
You do it on a whim, man. You just feel it out. Like, you don't think about it. You just do it. Like, when I BM'd Amnesiac in the top 8 of PAX South and he hated me forever, I didn't think about that. I wasn't like, hey, I'm going to go into this game and I'm going to BM him. He just played patches and I said, sorry, that was a mistake. Because in my mind, I felt like, hey, you probably shouldn't have drawn patches if you wanted to win this game, you know? So it just comes naturally.
I have a funny patches story with Dungeon Run, just real quick. So I have been notorious on always drawing patches in my opening hand, and it's an epidemic of gigantic proportions. So much so that in Dungeon Run, I was able to get 3 patches in my deck. And after selecting to get all 3 of them, my next game, I mulliganed everything, and I drew 3 patches.
Nice. Solid.
What, like, is there someone at Blizzard, like, programming that in? Like is there a line of code that says, if this user draw patches in your opening hand?
No, that's Ben Brode with the RNG switch. He Ben Brode's job when he's at Blizzard every day is to sit by an RNG switch to watch games and flip them towards different players to see who he can screw over.
Yeah. I imagine that probably is his everyday job.
And you can see him sitting in front of his screen, flipping the switch, and then doing his Ben Brode laugh. And then he goes, ha ha ha.
I can totally view that, yeah. I get it. Yep.
That's why all competitive players want to get on Ben Brode's good side.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think it's probably good to mention that John is away for his wedding, and that I think we mentioned that at the beginning.
We did.
Okay. I couldn't remember if we did.
Yeah,
or not.
He won't be on for the rest of the month for pretty obvious reasons. Because it's a pretty big deal, and definitely wish him the best, because that's the one of the most stressful things, but also one of the most wonderful things.
I heard he said he was gonna stream it,
live stream his wedding. What?
That's wacky. That's crazy.
Yeah, I saw that too.
That's definitely a John thing.
That's totally a John thing.
I'd be, like, way too scared to do that. Dude, I low-key hope that blows up, because I feel like nobody's ever done that on Twitch before. So, like, Twitch might promote it somehow.
Yeah, that'd be neat.
And then, but the thing is if there's random people watching, there could be random people calling wherever it is. Which is...
Yeah.
I mean, how do you... it's a live place, though, so you're not going to go and say where it is, specifically.
I don't know, man. If it, as enough viewers, they'll find out.
That's always true.
Yeah, the internet's a scary place.
There's no way that you can hide from Twitch if they really want to find you.
Yeah.
I've seen people stream IRL streamers. Like, there's no way you'd have any idea where they are. All of a sudden, hey, who... Is there a tryhard here? And like I don't know how they find it, but they do.
Wow. Yeah. That's one thing I can never do is IRL life. Whatever, IRL streams.
I did that when I was doing a corn maze, but that's because it was like a very specific thing. Like, I was streaming the corn maze, so it was like a game, basically. Right. In some sense. But I wouldn't know what to do just like every, like, streaming my day. Like, I don't do anything exciting.
That's true.
Like, you want me to IRL stream me playing Hearthstone?
Wait, you already do that.
No, I mean, yeah, I was like, gonna say, from like put the camera behind my back or something.
It's the same exact stream, just from a different angle.
Oh yeah. Yep.
All right. So let's wrap this up, guys. So we want to give a shout out to our well-met legends, the real Ben and Karel. And you can be a Patreon just like them. If you go to www.patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. iTunes reviews. I'm not so sure about that. JR?
I have no idea. John does all of that. And without John, I don't know.
Okay, cool. Sounds good.
We're gonna figure stuff out.
Yeah, we're gonna have a mailbag. When John gets back, we'll just do all the iTunes reviews at once.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Like, we're going to do a show next week for sure. And then I think we're going to be taking 2 weeks off for the holidays, right?
That sounds good.
The plan?
Yeah, we can.
I think that's the plan.
Unless me or Danny wants to, like, spread. Like, me and Danny want to just get one in one of the weeks. Otherwise, yeah, that's probably going to be the plan.
So, I don't know, just the holidays are a crazy time, so.
Yeah, the holidays are definitely usually crazy. I tend to travel to New Jersey to go visit family and friends for, like, a week.
Yep, I do the same. I go to Rhode Island.
Nice.
I will be at home, but staying away from the internet and computers, because that's all I do all day, and I need to get away from it for a week.
That's a good vacation.
Sometimes it's nice.
Good vacation from yourself.
Well, I've got friends coming in and stuff like that, and we've got other stuff going on. So that's usually because I get like a week and a half off at Hallmark where I work, and you would think that the holidays are their busiest time, but it's really like October because that's when we do all the work to get ready for Christmas. So by the time Christmas rolls around, we're done, right? So they closed down the headquarters. And then,
Oh, cool.
And so every Christmas I get about a week and a half off.
Nice.
Yep.
All right. I think that's going to do it for us this week.
Yeah. So do you want to do shout-outs and how people can get in contact with you?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You can follow me at PG_Racy on Twitter and twitch.tv/Racy591 on Twitch. But most importantly, be sure to catch me on stream winning Seat Story Cup this weekend.
Sweet.
Definitely watch that. You can find me on Twitter at Daldorian. Hopefully I'll be streaming this upcoming weekend. I'll probably be streaming Dungeon Runs, to be honest, because I really enjoy that mode, over at twitch.tv/EldorianBP, and I'll be doing my Extra Life stuff on there. I'm still raising money. We didn't meet our goal that I wanted to meet, so we can still meet it, and if we do, you can win up to 60 Kobolds and Catacombs packs. I'm trying to raise $1,000 for the Children's Miracle Network. Specifically here at KU Pediatrics here in Kansas City. And I'd like to give a shout-out to Alexandra, Albert, and I believe that's it. Unless I didn't say him last time, Jason. They've all donated to the cause and the last time that I streamed. So Hopefully we can get there. Right now I'm at $310 raised. I want to get to 1,000. If you donate, every $5 that you donate will go into a raffle to win that 60 Kobolds and Catacombs packs, plus a free hour coaching session of your choice from one of us.
Yeah, I also want to shout out Albert, too. I forgot about that.
Albert's a good guy.
Yeah, shout outs to Albert, man. He has helped me, like, prepare, like, mentally for this trip overseas, because he's done that, like, a million times before. So, like, I have all these questions, and my family has never even left the East Coast for the most part. So I'm just, like, I'm just clueless, and Albert, like, randomly hits me up on Twitter. And he's like, are you ready for Seat Story? I'm like, well. And then I kind of go off, and he just answers all my questions, and he's the homie.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Yep. But if you want to donate, just head over to extralife.bluespro.com. That's the easiest way to find my donation page.
Cool. Yeah. And for me, my contact info is on Twitter, DannyDonuts_HS, and on Twitch, DannyDonuts45. I'm probably going to get some streaming in now that I've been bumped, so expect to see some pretty crazy wild decks form. And for my shoutouts this week, I want to give a shout-out to Slizzle, who is the guy who ran the Wild Rat Race, which convinced me to go and try hard for Legend so early this season. And I also want to give a shout out to Jonara and Seviang, who were the other two guys who were really pushing during the rat race, and I ran into them a combined total of 50 or 60 times on ladder, which is pretty crazy. Yeah, that's one of the things about Wild Ladder, you run into the same people over and over. I got 7 wins in a row off of the guy who I took to Legend, who took me to Legend. Yeah, guy wasn't too happy afterwards. He was BMing me the whole time, roping and all that stuff.
Ugh. Oh, yeah. I hate that.
But it was even better.
Take it like a man.
It was nice because it gave him the justice back of winning every single game. So it worked out.
There you go.
Yeah. Alrighty. So thanks for joining us for episode 136 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet at us at wellmetpodcast.com or email us at wellmet@blizzpro.com with questions, comments, and any ideas you have for the show. Shout out to Jake Buttonow. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Goodbye.
1738. Yeah.